Just call him out. I will likely miss you.
My idea of how serving looks is challenged and enlarged.
Okay.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, we'll get it. John, do you have that coming up in written form shortly? Understand that volunteering, idea of serving is challenged and enlarged.
That we would get rid of the idea that some are called to serve the community and others are not. Or to state it positively, we'd all sense the call to serve this community.
Okay. So we'd all sense the call to serve the community.
If we would come up with some ideas that might spark better mechanisms for seeing that happen.
If we could find a way to delete unneeded roles and add in needed ones. I mean, it feels like there's just sort of an ongoing trend to add more rather than drop things.
That feels like that's going to be a tough lift to get that done by this evening. Who else? If you would be leaving this evening and the evening would have been a success, what would you be leaving with?
That individually and corporately there is a stronger desire to serve the body.
Individually and corporately, a stronger desire to serve. And I think that ties with something Nelson said earlier. We'd all sense the call to serve the community. Yeah?
I'd like to see people empowered to do the things they're good at and enjoy.
Could you repeat that? The people in power would do the things they're good at. Empowered. Oof, back away from the thermostat.
I don't disagree with that, but I think I have also learned how to serve in a way that I would not have thought was my gifting.
So there might be some competing values there. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll get back to some of those themes.
Along with that, that we can also understand what our limitations are.
So maybe a little different angle to the question. What things will you be looking for this evening as we go through our conversations?
Quite sure exactly how to word it, but something on the lines of moving towards an openness of figuring out how to spread the work. Not necessarily against our method, but given the method we use, it's possible for someone to show up on a ballot for multiple things. Mm-hmm. And I may know that it's not practical for that person to do everything, but there's no way of, depending how things go, If different people in the congregation choose a different set of things to vote for that person for, you can always put too much on that person.
Okay. So maybe we might end up with kind of a mismatch of people filling multiple seats and other folks not filling some of those that could. Okay? Good. We've got time for one more.
Just to hear what others are thinking.
So the evening will be a success if we listen to each other. Okay? Good. Yes?
I'm not seeing Judith Nisley's up there. I'm not sure exactly how she had worded it.
Thank you for catching that. Just, let me make sure I'm being honest to what you said. I think I remember you saying that you've learned to serve in ways that you weren't sure you would. Okay, so you've served effectively. I'm putting words in your mouth there. You've served effectively in things that you never would have volunteered for. Okay? So maybe an openness to serving? Good. All right, we should get that up there shortly. And then we're going to make a little pivot. And I would like Andrew and Emmeline, could you come help me gather some data up here shortly? John, do we have Judith's? Got it. Thank you. All right, if you two could come up and help me gather some data. So we're going to turn to our sheets now. If you want to take this side, and Emmeline, you count over here. What we're going to do is we're just going to go down line by line, and I will not force you to say your name out loud, but I will ask you to raise your hand if you wrote your name on one of these lines. So we are not recording names, we are simply trying to aggregate some numerical data. So who of you wrote that you would consider serving as a children's superintendent? Four. So we'll call them out, and John will be aggregating those in the back. We've got four and eight. All right. Adult superintendent. Ten and six. Ten. Song leader. Three and five. Midweek planning. And 12 and 8. Vacation Bible School. Great question. I'm thinking teacher. Superintendent here, based off of the ballot. But keep your hands up anyway if you want to. Seven. And five. Usher.
Let's notice the wind of that earlier. 21.
And 10. Trustee. Five?
Four and a half, five.
They'll do half of the job. Deacon committee. 7 and 11. Canning Relief. The question was a question. Canning Relief. Got one. Clothing Relief. Two. We are swinging for the fences. Three. Thank you. Center Aid Plan Board. And three, Pilgrim School Board. Five and six, CASP. Two and three, Food Committee. Eighteen and 11. Sister Sewing. Four and four. Librarian. Eight and 10. Sunday School Secretary.
Teresa,
plus one. Two and three. Sunday School Teachers, adults. Twenty-one and 24. Children's Sunday School Teachers. Fourteen and 26. Offering Counter. Nine and 14. Recording, audio, and video. And three, 11 and three. Since we are not actually naming any of these specific, sorry. There were 40. Since we will not, since we're not actually naming all of these, you don't have to say if you don't want to, but I will provide a little space if anybody wrote something on the bottom that they want to share with the group. Thank you very much for your help counting. Nelson. Mission Committee. Mission Board. Thank you. Hans.
One was I did it, and those are something that I'm most passionate about and able to do. And then I have willing, something that I'm able to do, but might not be my first choice. Mm-hmm. And then I have something that I did, that I have categories that I either didn't believe in or am not well suited skills-wise. So I don't know, like, were you looking more for the, this is a job that makes me come alive, or were you looking more for, this is something that I feel like I can do positively and serve the bottom line?
Yep. Great question. I think we'll get to some of those things a little bit later. If by the end we haven't addressed that satisfactorily, there will be space for that. So please bring that up again. Yeah, so that's part of the struggle, right? Like, some things we love doing, and given half an inch, we'd be there. And some things we'd say, you know, I could do that. I might not be excited about it, but I could do that. So let's see what the data says. We have approximately 85 regularly attending adults present here this evening, which is down about 20, 25 from where we were on Sunday. So props to you for showing up. So out of 85 folks, this is how our responses ranged. So Sunday school teachers for adults and children, good news for superintendents. There are a lot of folks who have some willingness to consider that at least. And a wide range of responses otherwise. I'm curious how writing your name, beside some of these lines, saying, you know, I might do that. How did that feel to you?
A lot easier because of the clause without consideration for your current available time.
Anybody else resonate with that? Yeah. Right? I mean, that's where we live.
And along with that, having no plans to participate in any of them in the future.
I hope every line on your sheet was filled out, Paul. That would certainly boost the numbers. Anybody else?
I wrote my name down beside at least several that typically are filled by only males in this church.
So the data says you were not alone in that. On quite a number of lines that are traditionally gender specific, there were a number of folks who said, you know, I would cross those lines, and I would actually enjoy doing that. So those were, if I recorded them correctly, midweek planning, vacation Bible school, usher, deacon committee, librarian, Sunday school secretary, and offering counter. And I won't bore you with who typically holds those, but there were some variations in that. So, what do we do with that? How do we decide what the divisions of roles between men and women should be? The good news is we do have inertia behind us in some of these roles. So, continuing that way is certainly the path of least resistance. And in a purely voluntary data gathering experiment, a number of you that probably will never be asked currently said, I would do that. So how committed are we to maintaining that status quo? And what are the values that go into that decision? This is not a rhetorical question.
Well, I think it really all boils down to, doesn't it, to a understanding of what Scripture says about the roles of the genders. Women not usurping authority and those kinds of things. And kind of added to that, I think we all have a fair, probably a good number of us have kind of have a fairly healthy fear of kind of going with the flow of at least a significant part of American Christianity that has seemingly has reread those scriptural guidelines pretty significantly.
Okay, good, thank you. So I hear you saying fairly committed to not swinging the pendulum from here over here, right? Okay, other thoughts?
Well, our leadership, our leaders are here this evening, and I'm sure they're listening. They'll be the ones to guide us in hopefully scriptural decisions. God leads them. And added to the points that Arlen said.
Okay. So we can look to leadership to fix that for us.
Did I say that? I meant to say the leadership leading the congregation into a discussion, guiding it in a scriptural way.
Fair. Okay.
I don't remember what words you used, Shane, but I remember the word principles or values coming into the question, and I would have openness to exploring what are the scriptural values and principles that do guide our decisions about roles in church, mm-hmm. and are there places on this list that are very clearly on one side or the other, and we should strengthen that, and are there ones that may be on that side for reasons other than solidly scriptural backing, kind of sort out from a scriptural principles standpoint and decide whether it's inertia in tradition or whether it is
okay.
True to scripture.
Yep, good.
I can see having lady ushers, or maybe we can't call them that, but ladies that look out for the women, the needs of the women in the service. I just think that would be wonderful.
We've been members in a conservative beachy church where this was the practice.
Okay. So I'm going to make a choice point here, or we're at a choice point, and I'm going to decide we're probably not going to fix all of this tonight, but I think it's a conversation worth having. So I think we'll table that for now, and maybe we continue it. Maybe that is something that the leadership team may decide to pick up in some form at some point. I want to look at a couple of things here. So I'm curious how we make sense of the fact that there are four roles: Sunday school secretary, CASP, clothing relief, and canning relief, that have five or fewer people out of 85 here that say, pick me, I'd like to do that sometime.
One may be a lack of clarity of what the role actually means.
Okay. So maybe it's just an explanation thing that needs to happen.
It's possible that there's a lack of vision for those particular roles?
It's a more conflictual interpretation.
Three of the four are outside of district alone.
Oh, interesting. Three out of the four are outside of this church alone.
Most of them are hidden roles.
Most of them are hidden roles, okay? At least two of them involve trying to find unwilling volunteers.
I will counter that by saying apparently there's more adult Sunday school teachers than what I was able to find in the last
Where were you?
So Eric said, I forget exactly what you said. Basically, he was not finding 45 willing volunteers when he was looking for teachers. Point well made, and I would remind us that the answer to this question was outside of the boundaries of, you know, current obligations.
Another thing, I suppose most of us would rather not be teaching every year.
So most of us would rather not be teaching every year. What if, switching gears, there is one person who says, I'll do canning relief. What do we do with that? Because I think that shows up about every year. Do we just recycle that one person? One of the things that I hope might happen out of this conversation, and I don't know what should happen with these roles, which maybe should be changed and maybe shouldn't be, but one of the things that I think is worth elevating is that if all of these things need to be done, and there are legitimate reasons that specific people at specific times cannot do those things, somebody in a variety of these roles will be doing something they are not thrilled to be doing. I have a bias that says, if that's true, and if we're okay saying it needs to be done, whether you want to or not, and we're willing to show up and say, I'll take my turn, that should inform how we interact with the people doing those roles. And maybe, I'm sure none of you ever do this like I do sometimes, we shouldn't actually just complain to those people about how they're not doing it well enough. If they're already doing work that maybe they're not thrilled to be doing, another possible intervention would be saying, I noticed this could be done better. How could I help? For the sake of time, we're going to keep rolling here. I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you 3 minutes of think time to yourself. 2 minutes, because I got long-winded. If I would ask you to define what being an active, engaged member at Center means, how would you define that? And to kind of set the stage for this, I recognize that we are starting with this as kind of our visual aid. I'd call us back to our Sunday school lesson on Sunday that I think one reasonable interpretation of that is that visible impact, size of contribution, and prominence are not always the right measures for what being engaged and active and impactful mean. So 2 minutes to think about the question. If I would ask you to define what being an active, engaged member at Center means, how would you define it? 2 minutes.
Thank you.
All right, let's get some voices in the room. What does being an active, engaged member at Center mean to you? A quick data check. Does it work for me just to repeat some of these rather than passing a mic around? Thank you.
I don't know if this is what it means, but a symptom is that I leave our meetings having benefited, and somebody else leaves having benefited because I was there.
So when we're together, you benefit and others benefit because you were there. Good.
Taking personal responsibility for the spiritual health of the whole group.
Taking personal responsibility for the spiritual health of the entire group.
Being interested, thinking of ways to build up the church, being encouragers and supporters.
Being interested, thinking of ways to build up the church, being encouragers, and we'll pause just a little bit to let John get caught up here.
Run through that one again.
Yeah.
Being interested, thinking of ways to build up the church, encouraging, being an encourager, and supporting.
Being interested, building up the church, encouraging, and supporting. Good. Who else? Joe.
Knowing people well enough and understanding them well enough when they're not in church to know what's going on in their life.
Knowing people and understanding people well enough to know when they're not in church what's going on in their lives. Nathan.
Intentionally focusing on either an individual or a segment of the congregation where I feel that I can, that I have a connection with or that or can have impact or that something.
Okay. So narrowing focus to leverage maximum impact. Is that a fair summation? Okay.
Punctual and regular in attendance.
Punctual and regular in attendance.
Included in these, but praying.
Praying?
Volunteering for the announced needs as gifted.
Volunteering for the announced needs as gifted.
As gifted and available time.
I like loopholes.
Being willing to fill needs that I see in. I'm not sure how to put this eloquently, but you could probably do that. See needs that nobody else has seen, but to be willing to take initiative when I see a need, I should be asked to not that role to go ahead and fill the need.
So stepping
please,
in.
Please do just revise it.
They're not my words. So what I think I heard you say was stepping in where help is needed, whether you've been asked or not. Is that fair? Good.
The words I was thinking is willingness to serve low-profile needs.
Willingness to serve low-profile needs.
In response to the time thing, carving out time for investing in Center.
So carving out time to invest in Center.
In decision making, not just thinking about kind of what would feel nice, but looking ahead to the next generation and looking, not just assuming that the ones before us assuming that it's more in tradition, but they're seeing the value.
So not just making decisions based on what makes sense to us, but looking ahead and behind. Is that fair? Good. Yes?
I'm going to push back on the end with available time portion that was on there with the announced needs, simply because service is not always done on my schedule. But sometimes for me to serve means there's For example, a funeral. It's difficult to plan when that happens. And as a food committee, something we're looking for needs to be met. And nobody really has been planning, oh, I'm going to take that time, or I'm going to make time here to contribute to that.
Yeah, so coming back to, I forget who it was. Was it Arlen?
It was me. You can strike that.
Yeah, so I'm not going to let us off the hook quite that easily. Because isn't that the tension? Like, we say, sure, I'll serve when it works.
I wanted to say, and I think I hear this in the church, that some glasses are full and they're running over. And so somehow there is a balance there, right?
Mm-hmm. Unpack that glasses are full metaphor for me a little bit. What does that mean? Yeah, sorry. So Paul says that what he hears is that there are people in the church with their glasses full and running over. Is that right? What does glasses full and running over mean?
That means you have committed yourself to too many things.
Okay.
You're not able to meet your commitments. And that's if your glass is full. Something is going to be missed.
Okay.
Maybe not the obvious, but is it relationships? Something is going to be missed. That's what I mean.
Okay. So we're overcommitted, and things are falling outside of the boundaries of our nice little lives.
You can often do about anything for a little bit of time. And so when there's a funeral, we just do it. And then that day at work, and by extension that week at work, went differently than we would have hoped, and next week we hope to make up for it. But if it was day after day, week after week, it wouldn't be sustainable.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay. How many of you have looked around, don't raise your hands on this, how many of you have looked around with at least a little bit of grumpiness and said, why on earth do I have to do this when that person doesn't have nearly as much to do as I do? So you do not have to confess to that. But one of the things I want to elevate in that. So if I am the only person who is willing to raise their hand on that, I'll own it, because I've done that. But one of the things I want to elevate there is that we don't always, in a snapshot, get a very accurate sense of what other people's lives are like. And so I'd call us to a fair bit of reservation about deciding on behalf of other people whether they are serving adequately or not. So as we look at this list, we'd leave meetings having benefited and others benefit, take personal responsibility for the health of the group, be interested, encouragers, and supportive, knowing people well enough to know what's going on in their lives if they don't come, narrowing focus to maximize impact, punctual and regular attendance, praying, not being overcommitted, not just making decisions based on us, but thinking about other generations, carving out time to invest in center, willingness to serve low-profile needs, stepping in where help is needed, whether asked or not, volunteering for the announced needs as gifted, and with the time available. Not one of the things on this list made it in this encapsulation. Now, I'll grant that's an unfair distinction. Because all of these things can be present in filling these roles, right? But I think it's worth thinking about how we think about what serving is and and what being engaged and active in the work of the church actually means. So I want to affirm both the public, front of the room, everybody can see you doing it, roles, and the much less obvious, I'm going to do it whether it's convenient or not, but because somebody needs to do it, roles that also happen. I think how we think about service and engagement is partially about what we do, but even more about the lens through which we view ourselves and church. We can control ourselves and inspire others, but keeping score or comparing ourselves to others probably simply isn't a helpful frame as we seek to be faithful in using who God has created us to be in serving the kingdom. All right, next question. And I'm going to have us divide into groups for this. I'm just going to have you turn around, make small groups. I'm going to suggest 4 to 6, but whatever emerges naturally for you is fine. Here's the question we're considering. What are the pros and cons of emphasizing personal discernment of gifting and vision that leads to initiative, or of emphasizing a willingness to serve that prioritizes group discernment for when we should do a thing? Is that fair? Clear? What are the pros and cons of emphasizing personal discernment in gifting and vision that leads to personal initiative, or of emphasizing group discernment that we look to each other to figure out what we should be doing in the work of the church? Any questions about the question? All right, I'll give you 8 minutes for this. So gather in small groups and start talking.
Thank you.
So I find myself all over the map at different times and in different seasons on what I think this balance should be. And I'll just share two stories, stories and confessions. So the first one is probably most shocking. I haven't kept track, but there have been quite a number of years that in June and July I have nominated myself and voted for myself as a song leader. And the reason I did that is because I care a lot about the music of this church. And I feel like I have something to offer there. Now, I don't know. I'm better at lying to myself than to anybody else. But I think my motives were reasonably pure in doing that. So there's where I deliberately stepped into, within the framework that we have, of saying, I'd like to do that. On the other side, 13 years ago, we moved back from a term of service with Choice Books, and for a variety of reasons, most of which had to do with me, I was pretty cynical about that work. But we happened to be moving back just as nominating ballots were going out. And there was a vacancy on the Choice Books board. And so perfectly reasonably, some of you, at least, said, well, we think Shane would be a good fit for that. I came that close to saying, I'm not doing it. Partly for selfish reasons, and partly because I do think organizations deserve leadership that is invested in cares. I didn't, whether that was lazy or sacrifice, I don't know. But a year later, I missed a really important board meeting and was elected as chair of that board. And again, I had a choice to make, because the needle had not moved significantly on my personal vision for that work. But by virtue of being the chairperson, I sat on the National Board of Directors, and the first meeting I went to was the last one that Simon Trock attended. And for 45 minutes, he read letters that had come into Choice Books Northern Virginia's office of people from people whose lives have been changed by encountering a Choice Books display. They ranged from, I was having a bad day and the book cheered me up, to I was checking out at Walgreens with a concoction of pills to kill myself, and instead I bought a book. And I listened to that and I said, you know, that is work worth doing. 13 years later, I'm still engaged in that book. I would have missed out on years of engagement, and I'd like to think changed lives, both myself and others, if I would have said, not gonna do it. So, let's hear from you. Now that I've made my confessions, where do you land? So, what I'm gonna do here is we're gonna treat this sort of like a continuum. With what you give out, I'll place it leaning more toward individual strengths or more toward the group call election waiting to be asked. Where are you at?
One thing groups can't take into account is the level of how full your glass is.
Okay. So we simply don't know always. So that would lean more toward individual strengths initiative being prioritized. Is that right?
So you're asking us to plot ourselves on here?
Yeah, so I'll...
I misunderstood. I thought you were doing the stickers.
We are, very shortly. And then we'll place them kind of on a continuum here.
I would put it on the individual side.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
There's a reason I never took up art. Hans.
I was really glad to have the question asked because I tended very much for the individual strength side because I think practically that works better with the way we're set up. But I realized that the group discernment is much more ideal, but we don't really have the infrastructure in place to really... to do that well, because we often don't know each other well enough to know each other's strengths and to discern well for them. And we also, it tends to, the group discernment that happens tends to happen behind closed doors without a two-way interaction to really discern that well. Or it happens in a public vote, or, you know, just different things like that. And you know, I think working together, living together in small groups is one way we can solve that, and I would love to see us do more of that so that we are better equipped to do the more ideal of group discernment on those things and speak into each other's lives on things that actually matter.
So I think I'm hearing you say, check me to make sure I'm being honest to it, that having the group work together, including our own voices, is the ideal. Is that a fair summation? Good. So, I don't know how we're going to do this on a continuum. Is that recognizing that there are limitations to all of these models? Who else? Harry.
One of the strengths of the group call model is when the position involves asking other people to do something, we have credibility, we have authority when we have been asked to do that,
okay,
rather than taking that on ourselves.
Okay. Bull.
I don't know how it would work practically, but I think some combination where there could be a pool of willing people to serve, but the group, or the strength that I think I have, I would make that available in this pool of candidates, and the group then would be willing to either identify it or move it on. And our personal assessments aren't always accurate.
Yeah, yeah. In five words, sum that up for me.
People could volunteer, but wait for the group to confirm that.
Okay. People can volunteer, but wait for the group to confirm.
this doesn't fit up here, so it might be non sequitur, but I think it's worth noting that a lot of the work of the church has, it's similar to what you said, but a lot of the work of the church has nothing to do with this, with their annual re-election process. Volunteering to make food that the food committee asks for, etc.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, so a lot of, just reiterating something that was said earlier, that a lot of the work of the church is not actually part of this election process, the annual reorganization process. So making food, praying, you know, some of those things that never show up on ballots anywhere. Brian?
We've had several examples of ways that being called by the group opened doors that we wouldn't have volunteered for ourselves.
Yep.
In addition to that, I think it helps to cultivate humility and surrender to the group and willingness to serve in ways that me picking my role could lead me away from pretty quickly.
Okay.
Individualism versus service.
Yeah.
Our group observed that while the group call may ensure that all of the things are met, some of the most hidden roles are not things the group is going to recognize and point someone to. Things that the individual say that needs to happen.
What's the last part on that one?
Some of the most hidden work is going to be things that only individuals are going to recognize and have to just step in and fill that place.
We'll take time for two more. Judith.
I think one benefit of not individual volunteering every time is that more people do the different things and understand what it takes to do something. Like food.
Yep.
We understand that that's a lot of work in certain times.
Yep.
So that's a benefit of understanding.
So spreading that around gives more people visibility into what the role entails. Yep. Good. One more. Angela.
On the flip side, when you are asked to do something you're pretty poorly suited to do, it can be a real burden while you do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So if you're asked to do something that you're not well suited for, it can be a real burden. All right. So we're going to shift a little bit here. I apologize. I am going to run just a little bit late. If you can give me another 5 minutes. I'd like to kind of recap a little bit and land the plane together. So at the beginning of the evening, we named some things that we said, if this were true, the evening would have been well spent. We have since talked about what areas of service might be a good fit for us. We've thought about what exactly being an active, engaged member of Center looks like, regardless of how visible that engagement is, and we explored some of the strengths and weaknesses of emphasizing personal agency or group discernment or waiting to be asked. So, as we look back to how we defined success for this evening, how did we do? And what else do we need to be getting on the table, maybe to be continued later, maybe just to get it on the table? What do we need in the room before we call it quits for tonight?
The verse, stirring up to love and good works, I would just note that most of our talking is being about good works. But if love isn't number one, it's
going to be two. Yeah. So scripture talks about stirring each other up to love and good works. Without love, the good works might just be work. What else?
What was the question again?
What else do we need to be getting on the table for the group before we wind it down? Nathan.
Big thank you to the way each and serve, especially those who serve in one-on-one ways that people don't know.
Yeah. Amen. A big thanks to everybody that is serving in whatever role. Is there anybody that hasn't spoken yet this evening that would like to get something into the room?
Sure, how to say this, but I hope people don't feel like if I can't do it as well as somebody else, I can't do it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take professionalism. It takes a willing spirit and doing the best you can.
Amen. So Karen is reminding us that we should cut ourselves and others some slack, that there's not a bar that has to be met. Is that a fair summation? So I think about something Harry Shank said, I don't know when. I think about your sister. And the adage is, well, girding up our loins to do the best we know how, that if something is worth doing, it is worth doing well. Right? I'm there. What I remember, hold me faithful to this, Harry. What I remember your sister saying was, if something is worth doing well, it is worth doing at all. So I love that tension of saying, if we're going to do it, we are going to do the best work we possibly can. And if that best work is not as good as somebody else's best work, we will still show up to that. Was I faithful to the quote? And I think that's a great note to end on, that there is work for all of us to do. We get to choose, we get to control ourselves and inspire each other. And that if the work is worth doing well, it is worth doing at all. And sometimes that makes us happy, and sometimes we get to choose sacrifice for each other. Before we draw this to a close, I want to hold just a little space for announcements. Are there announcements that need to be made before we close?
I have an observation. I'm amazed that two song leaders are leading us in this meeting without us singing. And it's okay.
So, that was not by accident. And I appreciate you bringing that up. John and I have for many, many years been song leaders. Some of us even have kind of low-key campaigned to be song leaders. That is who we are in this system. That is not all we could be in this system. So we made that deliberate choice point, sort of as a case in point, that there are other roles that we may actually have interest in serving in. The other teaching point we hope to land out of that is that when people that care about work and have capacity to do work don't show up, it hurts both them and it deprives the group of something that is valuable. So we get to choose how we show up. And often, we can frame that in ways that it is just about us. The reality is, with the way we live together, our choices have ripples throughout the entire group. So thank you for letting me elevate that teaching point. If you would like to sing, I'd be happy to lead a song. John.
End with the doxology?
Sure. Let's end with the doxology. Let's stand.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the earth.